broadcasting live from the West End Waltham in Boston, Massachusetts, for Vistage Executive Summit 2015. It's CEO exclusive. Now, here's your host, Soyini Koch.
We're delighted to be broadcasting live from the Vistage Executive Summit, and I'm pleased to welcome on the air as my guest host, Greg Michaels, a regional consultant with Vistage. And our guest for this segment is Mika Adler. So Mika, we're really delighted to have you on the show. His company's name is Fixu. And Mika, we always start off the show by asking our CEO guests, what are the trends in your industry that you think other middle market CEOs should know? So go ahead and give us your thoughts on that.
Great. Well, so first of all, it's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I guess to start with, maybe I should say what my industry is.
And, okay.
Just a little bit about what Fixu does. We are a mobile marketing company, so we help advertisers place ads on smartphones, tablets, other sorts of devices of that sort, and very much take a very algorithmic and data driven approach to it. We've seen tremendous amounts of data, over 16 trillion data points in the space. And what our system does is use all of this to make sure that ads are targeted and getting in front of the right people. Mm. Going back to your question about the trends that we're seeing, I think it's a fascinating time to be in the advertising business in general, and more specifically in the digital marketing space. What we're seeing is that the space is getting much more sophisticated over time, both in terms of the types of goals that advertisers have, and also the underlying technologies, the tools that people are able to bring to bear to place advertisements as effectively as possible. And in general, and you know, we're certainly an example of this, what we're seeing is that everything is becoming much more data-driven. The ability to make intelligent decisions about who sees what ads are placed where, what's going to drive real value for the advertiser. And this is really making the advertising ecosystem a much better place. It's good for the advertiser because they get better results out of the ads that they place. It's good for the publisher, the company that owns the site where the ads are appearing, in that it leads to a better user experience. Right, people are seeing ads that are relevant for them, and most importantly, I think it's actually making the ads better for the advertiser. You know, you're not seeing ads that are completely irrelevant to you. You're seeing ads that have a higher chance of actually being something that you might actually be interested in. Mm.
So you're riding a wave. You'd probably say you're actually riding a current. And, you know, where's the next turn where's the next bend in the river? What are you doing to address that or to stay on the cutting edge of that?
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the most interesting things of the space that we're in is that this is a very rapidly flowing river, if you want to continue with that analogy. It has a lot of bends and twists. And I think one of the interesting things here is how quickly it's grown up and how what the projected size of the space is. A few years ago, it wasn't that long ago before the iPhone didn't even exist, right? It was came out in 2007. The App Store was introduced in 2008, and you know, now people spend more time on their mobile devices than they do on the desktop. 60% of digital media consumption actually happens on mobile, as opposed to only 40% on the desktop. Mobile has done something that the desktop never did, which is that people spend more time with their mobile devices than they do watching television. And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at data like that and say, wow, this is the future of advertising. So what we've seen is that very large players, Facebook, Google, you know, all the big heavyweights within the advertising ecosystem, they're betting very heavily. They're doing some really interesting things. And, you know, there's still all kinds of room for startups and mid-sized companies like ourselves to innovate and stay at the cutting edge. But that really is the challenge, right? These guys obviously have much bigger presence in the ecosystem, more resources to throw at solving these problems. And, you know, it's both the opportunity, both what makes this exciting, but also what, you know, is probably our biggest challenge is, you know, really staying at the cutting edge of what happens within the space.
Mm, interesting. And aside from that, let's talk about people. I mean, this is a digital based company, but, you have significant number of employees. So how many employees do you have and what are you doing to address sort of the environment that your company, that your employees work in?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think every company is really, all about the people, and we're very much a technology company, but you don't build technology without people. You don't sell technology without people. You don't make sure that your customers are happy without people. So Fixu is about 140 people. One of the things we have very much focused on throughout the entire history of the company is culture and making sure that people enjoy working at Fixu. And there's a number of things that go into this. We have a very, very well-defined set of values that are important to us. And there've certainly been plenty of examples where we've decided, somebody isn't a good fit for the company, not because of their contribution, but because they just don't adhere to the values that we have at Fixu. And, I'm happy to say that, as you probably know, the Boston area has, a number of best places to work competitions. And, we're frequent winners of these contests. We've been, I guess only once we were number one in all of Massachusetts, but, in our size, which is the mid-size category. But, I do think that the focus on culture has really, really made a big difference in terms of, making it a great place to work and, being able to hold on to the great people that we have.
And can you attribute, some of those awards, the recognition, the evidence that your company is thinking about culture? To your own leadership style, your brand, what is there a connection there? And if so, what is your leadership style?
I want to say that the awards and the reality behind the awards of Fixu being a great place to work is really just a reflection of the people that we have at Fixu, the management team there, great people that we've managed to bring along with us for the ride, and a bit of a shared vision for what a great place to work would be. In terms of sort of what that culture looks like, which I certainly believe in, but I wouldn't describe myself as being solely responsible for that culture. It's a combination of transparency, highly collaborative style, mutual respect for people that you work with as colleagues within the same company, but your customers as well, and also a focus on innovation and creativity, and really respecting and rewarding those kinds of activities.
I tend to feel that, and maybe this is just me personally, that when we are able to see the world through other shoes, it's because we've been there. We've been in the valleys as well as the peaks. So, do you want to share kind of a valley that you've been in? It might be interesting to the listeners.
Yeah. Certainly been plenty of them. I think, one good story is around the early days in the company. So, I described a little bit about what we do, as you probably know, a big part of what happens in the mobile space is centered around mobile apps, and that was actually our roots within the company. We actually started as mobile app developers. We didn't found the company as a marketing company. We started as a mobile app development company. We developed our first app. It was a news aggregation app. We put it into the App Store, and actually we were lucky enough to have a very, very successful launch. We were getting thousands of downloads a day. We were actually featured as the app of the week in the New York Times and app of the week in CNET, and all very exciting. But what happened was kind of the typical experience for those apps that are lucky enough to have a successful initial launch, which was that very quickly the newness of the app dried up, the press coverage dried up, and we went from thousands of downloads a day to literally about 50 downloads a day. And you know, you do the math on that and try to figure out, all right, you know, how many days is it going to take us to get to our first million users? And it just looks like a really long, tough path. And you know, realized we needed to do something different and change things around. So that was definitely a valley, but it actually ended up being probably the best thing that ever happened to the company, because what we did was we said, all right, well, let's put some digital marketing dollars behind the app. We did that. And when we did that, we saw how inefficient the digital marketing space was. I mean, just to give you a little bit of a sense of the inefficiency, when we first did that, it was costing us about $3 per download. And, you know, this was early days in the mobile space. Today, that actually would be a good result. In those days, that was very expensive. And we had a news app. You can't, it's tough to make that up, you know, for people paying for news. But what we saw was just, you know, there was just all this inefficiency in the mobile space, because people are used to doing things the way they're done on the desktop, and mobile is very different. And so I'm a former academic, actually, and I brought in a number of PhDs from my academic days. And over the course of 6 months, we improved the cost per download from $3 all the way down to 26 cents. And at that point, we realized, hey, that's kind of interesting. How can we do more of that? Are there other applications of that? And we actually pivoted the company to one that actually was helping people with their marketing needs once they had initially built the app. Mm. And, you know, here we are.
Well, one question I have for you, maybe to go back a little bit. You talked about how the targeting and the data science is more effectively matching advertisers with people who want the advertising or who are good targets. How do you think about the creep factor? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that, you know, I go to a website and then 3 days later they're advertising the same dress, but I was like, you know what? That's creepy. I didn't ask for you to advertise that dress to me, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a question I get often. So, you know, first of all, I think, it's important to note, you know, we don't collect any personally identifiable information. And I think most of the space is, let's say at least cognizant of the distinction of what is and what isn't. But that said, you know, there is behavioral targeting, which is, you know, the dress example that you just gave. In the mobile space and on the desktop as well, there are, well-defined ways to turn that off. Basically, you know, there's settings within your phone, mm-hmm. that can turn off any sort of targeting if that's something that, bothers you in any way, shape, or form. The flip side is, you know, you could view it as doing you a service as well. You know, this was something you were interested in. You're probably still interested in. It's better that than something that, you know, I don't know your interests well enough to give an example of something that would be completely in left field. Mm-hmm. But you know, it could be rides to the moon, for instance, instead of the dress that perhaps you are interested in.
And so just given the environment here, 200 CEOs, a number of speakers, sort of giving perspective on how CEOs can sharpen their saw, as we say, you know, what sort of things are you looking for out of the day, if anything, answers or even questions that you might have, if you could ask them to the crowd?
Yeah, I confess I've only just arrived, so I haven't had a chance to interact with the group here.
That's okay.
That much, but you know, always looking for ways to do my job better, to see into the future a bit better, and help do everything I can to make the company a better place for the people to succeed at what they need to succeed at.
Well, thank you so much for taking a few moments out of your afternoon to be on the air with us.
Yeah, happy to do so.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks
Enjoy
again for the invite.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.